Okay, good evening. So here we are. We are approaching Shabbat Parshat Emor. And we're also in the days of Svirat HaOmer, the days of counting the Omer. And we have here a long, unedited discourse, unedited meaning that it's not one that the Rebbe prepared specially for publication. It's a discourse from 1976, Tavshin Lamed Vav, and it was also on in the week of Parshat Emor, and it was on the 2nd of Iyar. Now tonight is the 2nd of Iyar. Today has been Rosh Chodesh, and tonight is the 2nd of Iyar. What's significant about the 2nd of Iyar is that it's the birthday of Rab Shmuel, the fourth Chabad Rebbe. So, the Maharash, he's called, and he is distinguished for creating what's called the Hemshech. The Hemshech means a series of discourses, of Ma'amarim, said on different Shabbatot, and the beginning of each discourse begins with the Parshat HaShavua, with the Sedra of the week, and it asks a question, and then there's a discussion, and then the end of the discourse answers the question on that Parshat HaShavua. But this week's discourse is a continuation from last week's discourse, and when you take the middle of the discourse, that's a Hemshech. And it can go for a year, where he is explaining one theme, one after the other. And it's being developed. And each time, each week, it connects to the Parshat HaShavua, but it's got an independent significance as a thread, yeah, which is being developed, a philosophical thread which is being explored. So that's one of the fascinating things about Rav Shmuel, the Maharash, the fourth Rav Avitcher Rebbe. So in fact, this discourse, or sefartem lachem im mocholat hashabbat, that you should count for yourself from the day after the Shabbat, in other words, the whole idea of counting the Omer between Pesach and Shavuot, this discourse, in fact, it's a long discourse, because in a way it's two discourses in one. There's a discourse talking about the concept of Sfirat HaOmer between Pesach and Shavuot, and in the middle it's got a discourse by the Rebbe Maharash, which the Rebbe said, or included elements from this discourse, which fits in to his discourse. So it's like got it expands into a discourse by the Rebbe Maharash. That part of it we will do very briefly, but we'll try to cover the main thing. So first of all, let's just see from the text of the Chumash what happens. We have here verse 4 in this week's Parsha. It's got the Parshat HaMoadot, the Eile Moadei Hashem. These are the festivals. You see this verse 4? Eile Moadei Hashem, Mikrae Kodesh, Asher Tikru Otam B'Moadam. These are the festivals. And there's a whole list here of the festivals. It begins B'Chodesh HaRishon, B'Arba Asar L'Chodesh, B'in Ha'Abayim, Pesach L'Hashem. It starts off with Pesach. And then verse 9 and 10, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe L'Emor, God said to Moshe, Daber B'nei Yisrael V'amarta Lehem, God says to them, when you come to the land which I'm giving you, Uktzartem et Ktziran, you'll cut the first reaping, V'haveitem et Omer Reshit Ktzirchem El HaKohen, you should bring an Omer, which is a measure, of the first of your crop to the Kohen, V'heinifet HaOmer Lefnei Hashem L'Yaltzonchem, he should wave. This word V'heinif, he should wave it. It's an action in the temple with the Kohen taking this measure of, it's actually barley. Because the barley, so'orim, gets ripe before chitim, before the wheat. And this should be done mimocholot ha-shabbat, Yinefenu HaKohen, the day after the festival. You see, it says in the English, the first day, on the day after the first day of the Passover holiday. As explained last week, this was a cause of terrible conflict, this verse, because the Tzaddikim wanted to say it's literally Shabbat, not the festival, but Shabbat, and so... Va'asitem b'yom hanifchem et ha'omer, and on the day when you wave the omer, you should bring various offerings. And it then says in verse 14, v'lechem b'kali v'chamer lo tochlu, you shouldn't eat any of the new grain until this day when you bring this all of this this omer offering. From which we have the idea that Chadash Asur Min HaTorah, which the Chatam Sofer used as a wonderful slogan to make to strengthen orthodoxy in the face of encroaching modernity and secularization. Chadash Asur Min HaTorah. It actually refers to this law about the new grain, but he managed to make it into a useful slogan. It's basically about synagogue practice, how you design the synagogue. Then, verse 15, Usfatem lachem imocholat ha-shabbat, you should count for yourselves the day after that festival day, miyom haviechem et omer ha-tnufa, from the day you bring the omer which is waved, sheva shabbatot tmimot tiyena, it should be seven perfect weeks. Ad mimochad ha-shabbat ha-shviit, till the day after the seventh final day, tisburu 50 yom, you should count 50 days, ve'hitchavtem mincha chadasha la-shem, and then you should bring a new offering to God, which will be a wheat offering, and that is the festival of Shavuot. So that's the festival. So first there's Pesach, then on the second day Pesach, the bringing of the Omer, then the counting of 7 weeks, and after the 7 weeks comes the 50th day, and that 50th day is the festival of Shavuot. It says in the verse, Usvatem lachem, you should count for yourself, from which the sages learn that each person has the duty to count the Omer, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe pointed out, that if we get muddled up in counting the Omer, such as something like going to Australia and crossing the date line, we may have to keep our own personal Shavuot on a different day to everyone else, because it says, Usfatem lachem, you should count for yourself. It's not something that the Bet Din counts for everyone, it's something that each individual counts, and so... He counseled people to be very careful crossing the date line, whichever direction, during the days of the Omer. So that's the concept. That's the mitzvah. And so people every night, they count the Omer with a blessing. If they left out one day or more, then they count without a blessing. But the whole idea of Svirat HaOmer. Now, this is then translated into personal, spiritual terms in this discourse, which we're going to try to explore. Oh, ya, 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 bam 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 yam ba yam bam bo ya yam bam bo yam oh ya yere ram ba ya ya yo ha yere ram ba ya ya yo ha yere ram ba ha yere ram ba ho yam ba ya ya yam bam bam Yamba 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 yo yamba yo oh ya ya yo ya ramba ya 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 yo ya ramba ya 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 yo ya ramba Oh, 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 ya, 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 yo, ya, ramba, ya, 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 yo, ya, ramba, ya, 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 ramba, ya, 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 oh ya ya ba ya ba 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 oh ya ya yo ya ya yom usfatim lachem imochlat haShabbat, and you should count for yourselves the day after the festival miyom habiyachem et omer hatnufa, from the day that you bring the omer which is waved. Sheva Shabbatot mimot tiyenu, they should be 7 perfect weeks. Umasayim, and he ends off, Tisbehu Chamishim Yom, you should count 50 days. Va'az Yeh Yom HaBikurim, and then it will be the day of the Bikurim, of the first fruits, Chag HaShavuot, the festival of Shavuot, which the sages tell us, it doesn't mention this in the Chumash, but the sages in Masechet Shabbat are very clear about it, Zman Matan Torah, but that's the time of the giving of the Torah. ומובאי בזה כבוד קדושת אדמו"ר הזקן בלקוטי תורה, and Rabbi Schneur Zalman explains in לקוטי תורה, וספחתם, the word וספחתם that we would normally translate you should count, הוא מלשון ספירות ובהירות, shining, and he translates into Yiddish, shinen, וכמו אבן ספיר, like sapphire, the same concept, the same idea, v'chein eses sfirot, the 10 sefirot. Why are they called sfirot? One aspect of that is that they radiate, they shine. Hu milashon bihirut, coming from the idea of some kind of radiance. Hainu de'echad ha'perushim b'ma shenikrot kein sfirot, one of the explanations why they're called sfirot. And he gives a long footnote here, including a reference to Pardes by Reb Moshe Cordovero. Hu milashon sapir uvahir, comes from the concept of shining radiant, like sapphire. V'zeh usfatim lachem imochlat haShabbat, that's what it means, you should count for yourselves from the day after the festival. Hainu, that means la'amshich he'arat hamakifim, the illumination, the gleam of the makifim. Makifim means surrounding, a surrounding radiance. There's an inner radiance and there's a surrounding radiance. And the surrounding radiance is something more exalted, and those surrounding radiances, those transcending forms of radiance, hanimshachim imochrat haShabbat, which are drawn down the day after the festival, sheya'iru b'chem, they should shine in you. And they've put the original Yiddish, es zolin eicha reinscheinen, it should illuminate inside you yourself. V'tumshach habihirut, and the radiance should be drawn, usufachtem, gam b'yom habiyachem et om hatnufa, It should flow also into the day when you bring the Omer offering. Sha'asu atchalat svirat ha'omer, that's the beginning of the counting of the Omer, the idea of usfachtem. And that should extend ad sheyesh sheva shabbatot. Now, 7 weeks. V'sheva shabbatot tmimot, 7 perfect weeks. Va'ad shiyu tispiru chamishim yom, till you're counting or making radiant 50 days. Digam tispiru, and the word counting also is this same concept of sapirut uvehirut, eben sapir. So counting and radiating are somehow connecting together. Va'az nimshach ha'inyin va'azman, then there's drawn down the concept of zman matan toratenu, the time of the giving of our Torah. And so there we have a kind of a spiritual process. We have Pesach, then we have the counting of the Omer, which is the spiritual radiance, this drawing of radiance into ourselves, and finer, and it extends through the 7 weeks into the time of the giving of the Torah on the festival of Shavuot. ובכללות, and in general, הנה עבודה זו לספירת העומר, this service of counting the עומר and of making radiant, מקשרת את הזמן חירותנו, it connects the time of our going free, חג הפסח, עם זמן מתן תורתנו, with the time of the giving of the Torah. Dehine. Now, in fact, there is a very logical connection between these two dates, these two events. Dehine ktiv, because it says at the very beginning of the whole process of going out of Egypt, when God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, God says to him, Bohotziyacha et ha'am Mitzrayim, when you will bring the people out of Egypt, Ta'avdun et alokim alahar hazeh, you will worship God at this mountain. And that mountain was Mount Sinai. The burning bush took place on Mount Sinai. That's the story, the way the Mikra itself presents it. It's not just a kind of rabbinic explanation. That's the way the wording is understood. The Yitziyah Mitzrayim Keshurai Matan Torah. The going out of Egypt is connected directly with the giving of the Torah. Omnam, however, but what joins the time of going free of Pesach to the giving of the Torah, hi avodah shebintayim, is the intermediate service, the service in between, ha'avodah do'omer ha'tnufa, the idea of waving the omer, or be'ofen the tisperu, and in a way, or lifting the omer, and in a way of counting, making radiant, she Yisrael ovdim bezeh ad shemi'irim ve'osim oto levaher v'sapir. And they do this. Whatever the Jews are supposed to be doing, they do it until they become radiant. Ad shehu b'shleimut be'ofan detmimut, till they reach a level of wholeness, of perfection. That's the 7 perfect weeks. Ad shenase ha'shleimut detispuru 50 yom, the wholeness of counting the 50 days, shelamayle mishiva shvuot, the 50 days being higher than the 7 weeks, which are only 49, and it's like another step. Through this, nimshach tachlit hashlemut, is drawn down the ultimate wholeness, ha'inyan de matan Torah, the idea of the giving of the Torah. Okay, so this is describing a 3-part process, where first of all there's going out of Egypt, then there is the time of this intermediate time of some kind of spiritual achievement which is being made, which is described in terms of radiance, drawing a radiance in, or drawing a surrounding radiance into oneself, and then coming to the culmination of this Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Any points from anyone at this stage? No. Uchlalut habir bezeh. Now the general and explanation of this. Dehine haTorah klalut upchatut neemra. The Torah was said in general and in detail. Umitzad zeh, and because of this, and in this way, nimshach achakach ba'olam. The Torah comes afterwards into the world. So in other words, they're like different dimensions of the Torah. And that's how it comes into the world, uba avodata adam, and in the service of the individual, shekol advarim yeshnam bichlal uprat, there too everything is there in general and in particular. Vehine kmo shebiprat. Now, with considering it as in detailed form. Kol avodah pratit, every individual form of divine service, tzricha liyot b'ofen d'ratzo v'shov, has to be in the way of moving forward and coming back. Now, that's a very interesting concept, that this is a general categorization of an individual's spiritual progress in life, that there is Ratzo V'Shov. Now, the phrase Ratzo V'Shov, moving forward and coming back, comes from the first chapter of Yechezkel, Ezekiel, Lekumosh Katuv, there, as it says there in Ezekiel, Yechezkel, V'Hachayot Ratzo V'Shov. He's describing a vision with angels, and he says they were moving forward and coming back. They were moving forward to a more spiritual level and coming back. Now, English, the word ebb and flow describes the way the tide comes in. England is an island, so there are many seaside vocabulary. Lots of elements of seaside vocabulary. So ebb and flow is the way the water comes in and then goes back. If you sit watching the tide come in, it gradually comes in. It doesn't just come as a rush. It comes a little bit, then it goes back. Then it comes a half a centimeter more, and then goes back. You know, and gradually, that's the way it comes in. And in fact, that's a very important aspect of the way in which people move forward in life, that it's in a gradual form, in a gradual step, and then moving back. So, like mountain climbers climbing up a mountain, they have a base camp, you know, and they slowly move this base camp higher and higher up. But they know they can come back to the base camp and they're safe over there. So it's so in spiritual terms as well. So rushing to grab something can be counterproductive because it's too intense and it doesn't fit with the person. And so there we have the general theme of Ratzo Basho. Shebema shekatuv v'achayot, when it says the angels, and it uses the word chayot, living beings, nichlalim kama v'kama inyanim, this word includes many different things. Hein inyan achayot kipshuto, where they're talking about the angels literally, v'haynu chayot, or we could speak about it not as angels, but as the life force of the world, chayut ha'olamot, v'seda hishtalshelut, and the downchaining of the worlds, that it's all got a spiritual life force and energy within it. V'hein ha'chayut da'asara nikraim chayim. Now, in the part of the Talmudic literature called Avot de Rabbi Natan, it's at the end of Seder Nezikin. It's printed usually in the Talmud. So it speaks there about 10 who are called alive. It's a nice passage. Torah is called alive. God is called alive. Yerushalayim is called alive. Yerushalayim nikra chayim. So it's 10 different things called chayim. So all these different things and the Jewish people. Adam shachav atem advekim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim. You, the Jewish people, cleaving to God, you are called alive. Shenasit al yedei avodat ha'adam, and this is achieved through the service of a person. V'hamshachat shebetorat chayim, and the flows which are drawn through this Torah of life, hinei kolam shachat ol elu hein bevchinat d'ratzo v'shov. All these qualities of flow have the nature of ebb and flow. That means moving forward and coming back. It's a rather lyrical passage, this, than I could imagine here. Maybe this mimer, by the way, this discourse was said on a weekday. It was said on Yom Rishon. It was said on a Sunday. There may be a tape of it available. That's because they would tape what the Rebbe. There may even be a video of it because it was in a weekday, and
it's not unusual.
Well.
Most of the Mamorin were said on Shabbos.
Yes. Mostly were said on Shabbos. There are a few every year that were said in the week, but the majority were on Shabbat. So it's interesting. So that's just an extra point. So there's a certain lyrical quality to this. The whole idea of life and every aspect of a person's service having this ebb and flow quality. Now, vihine, we're in the middle of that paragraph, more or less, five lines down, on page 210. Vihine ma shekol avodah pratit hi bevchinat ratzo v'shov. The fact that every individual form of service is in a way of ebb and flow, Zeu mishum, that's because shekein hu ba'avodah klalit. the way it is in general service, shehi ba'ofan deratzov ashov, that it's in the way of ebb and flow. V'alachat kama v'kama, and especially ha'inyan achiklali, the most general way of considering things, she'al yado nichnasu Yisrael tachat kanfei ha'shchina bechlalut, through which the Jews entered under the wings of the Shekhinah in general, bivchinat chatzov ashov. In other words, the whole relationship of the Jewish people with God is itself in a way of ebb and flow. How? V'hine haratzo shebezeh, the movement forward in this, haya b'yitziat Mitzrayim, was when they went out of Egypt. That was the running towards God. Sha'al zeh ne'emar, about which it says, Moshcheini acharecha, draw me after you. Now that moment of draw me after you, that is the moment of going out of Egypt, that God comes and schleps us out of Egypt, draws us out of Egypt. And then it says, Narutza, we will run. Now, the very end of the discourse that explains this phrase, but I think, just in case we don't get there, who knows, Mashiach may come in the middle, or some other emergency. Narutza, Mashcheini, draw me after you, we say to God. This comes from Shir Shirim, from Song of Songs. Moshcheini acharecha, draw me after you, is what happened at the going out of Egypt. Our divine soul was set on fire and was filled with inspiration and wanted to go with God out of Egypt. But our animal soul remained cold in various ways. And the whole idea of Sfirat HaOmer, in between the counting of the Omer, this process of making ourselves radiant, is that our animal soul should become inspired. And that's the difficulty. See, the divine soul gets excited, and the animal soul says, Maze, you know, it's like the four children at the Seder table, they're all inside us, and so one of them... That's right. So, through the process of Sfirat HaOmer, of the counting of the Omer, of making ourselves radiant, Lashon Eben Sapir, Safa, Narutza, we will run. The whole person will run, the divine soul and the animal soul together. Ba'achakach hashuv. Then comes the movement back, which is not leaving the world, but on the contrary, coming into the world, a divine revelation entering into the earthly and everyday normalcy of the world, which is what happens at Matan Torah. That is the Shov. Kamo shekatuv, vayered Hashem al ha-Sinai. As it says, God descended on Mount Sinai. Shehi amshacha milamayla lamata, this is a flow from above to below, bivchinat hityashvut, in a way of settled, in a settled way. Shezeu inyan hashov, and that is the shov, that is the return. Umitzad zeh shebeofen klali, and because of this, in its general form, hi bivchinat ratzo, it's in a way of moving forward, going out of Egypt, v'shov, and then settling Matan Torah. Nimshach mizeh gam b'chol avodav chatit. It comes from that general pattern. It becomes the private paradigm as well. Shehi b'vchinat ratzo v'shov, that it's in the way of moving forward and coming back. Now the interesting thing about this image is that if we go back to the image of the base camp of the mountain, yeah, I'm not quite sure if this holem, whether this fits perfectly, but the idea is to be normal. Religiosity and religious inspiration can often be seen as world-denying and, in a sense, a kind of aberration in terms of normal life and the normal quest for fulfillment in life. And the goal of Jewish teaching, particularly as it's taught by the early Hasidic teachers and the Chabad chain of guides, if you like, is that Judaism is a process of normalcy connecting with the divine. It's seen as a relatively easy path to leave the world and to seek to connect with God. More profound is for godliness to be absorbed within our daily lives as people in the world. That's the way that Chabad teachings and the general Hasidic strain of teaching. You see, there's an ascetic, Kabbalistic flavor of leaving the world, being very, very spiritual, beyond ordinary worldly things. Whereas within Kabbalism, it's ambiguous because there is the contrary direction as well. But Hasidism very much emphasizes, and certainly Chabad Hasidism, that the goal is one where the relationship with God is here in the world, like the story of the rabbi in bed. So that's the there is the movement away from Egypt, but then the settlement, the giving of the Torah, while the giving of the Torah on the one hand is a very ecstatic moment, it's the way it's understood in this text is that it's a moment which brings godliness into the everyday quality of life, because the Torah talks about everyday life. The Torah doesn't talk about people being in caves on the mountain, which is where Moshe got the Torah. Yes, Moshe was on Mount Sinai, so we might think the Torah is something, you know, far from the world, far from the mountain.
But he brought it down.
But he brought it down, that's exactly it. Bringing it down to real life and real people, and ultimately going into the land of Israel and having the Torah in a real land, living in a... In a real domain.
And actually, the people weren't allowed to go up either. Okay. Moshe was the only one who had the ability to go up.
Right. Sense. Yeah, presumably, because for him, if he went up, he would also come down. Mm. That's like the story with the four people who entered Pardes. Rabbi Akiva went in peace and came out in peace. But the three other people, each one was harmed in one way or the other, because their way of going into the deeper secrets of the Torah was one which took them away from the world, and they couldn't come back in.
As with Aaron's sons.
Aaron's son, yes, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Next paragraph on page 210, middle paragraph. To understand this idea, Sheyetziat Mitzrayim hu ratzo umatan Torah hu shov. That going out of Egypt is the movement forward, and the giving of the Torah is the settling down. Gam lavin ha'inyan lama tzalich liyot bintayim inyan d'sfirat ha'omer, and also to understand why there has to be the counting with the Omer in between. He suggests d'lechora ha'maspik inyan d'yetzir Mitzrayim ratzo matan Torah shov. You could have just had going out of Egypt and then the giving of the Torah. Why do you have to have counting the Omer in between? Citing the various verses about bringing the Omer, and the way in which the day of Shavuot depends on the counting of the Omer. So why does this have to be? So let's go on to the next paragraph. V'yuvan zeh b'haktim nekudat ha'inyan b'matan Torah. We'll understand this by considering what is Matan Torah. What is the giving of the Torah? Sh'inyanahi. The idea is, sh'al yedei Matan Torah, through the giving of the Torah, haya az tachlit ha'or, tachlit ha'shleimut ba'olam. There was achieved total perfection in the world, wholeness. Shleimut's a beautiful word. It's the wholeness, the fulfillment of existence. Shayam shachat elukud ba'olam, there was a flow of godliness in the world, ad lo'ofan kazeh, till in such a way, di'ita b'midrash, that it says in the Midrash, in Tanchuma, shemikol dalet pinot ha'olam, from all four corners of the world, ulamayla ulamata, and from above and below, haya kol yotzeh, the voice of God emerged, anochi Hashem elokecha, I am the Lord your God. So in other words, it somehow permeated the whole of existence. V'al yedei ze shebeit matan Torah haya olam betachtit hashlim. Since at the giving of the Torah, the world was totally whole, na'aseh achana v'atchala sheyuchal liyot la'achazeh, there was made a preparation and a beginning that afterwards, havodat ha'adam, there could be the service of the human being, but often in such a way, the elyonim yerdu lemata v'tachtonim ya'alu lemayla, that those above can descend below, and those below can ascend above. Now this is a reference he gives in footnote 23, gives a reference to Tanchuma and also to Shmot Rabbah. This is a midrash which the Rebbe very often quoted, and I think it's one of his favorite midrashim, and it has to do with the joining of the spiritual and the physical. The Medrash says like this, that there was a king and he had two countries who were under his dominion. One is called Romi and one is called Syria. Syria and Rome. And at the beginning there was a decree that the king said, B'nei Romi lo ya'alu l'Syria. The people from Rome cannot go up to Syria and the people from Syria cannot go down to Rome. And then he cancelled the decree. And he said, now they can, v'ani amatchil, and I will begin, and then the Midrash ends, and that's what it says, v'ayered Hashem al ha-Sinai, God descended onto the mountain. In other words, originally, spirituality and physicality were separate. And they weren't seen as connecting together. If a person wants to be spiritual, so he has to leave physical life behind. And since life won't exist unless there's physical life, so there has to be sort of grudgingly some sort of continuation of physical life. But it's a grudging relationship. Whereas then comes the idea of joining the physical and the spiritual together. And that's really what Torah is achieving, and this is very much a theme of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So, and that was achieved at Matan Torah, as the Midrash says, and that's the way to understand what is Matan Torah. So, umizem muvan, from this we can understand, top line of page 211. Shebichdei shiyeh inyan de Matan Torah, in order there should be the idea of the giving of the Torah, hayat tzarich liyot achana, there had to be a preparation. Hey mitzad elyonim, whether on the part of the upper realms, the spiritual, the hey mitzad tachtonim, or on from the point of view of the lower realm, the physical. Now there's a spiritual and a physical realm, an upper and lower realm within an individual. Hey manef shelekit shelo, there is the divine soul, that's the upper part, shichelek elokai mimal mamash, which is a portion of God from above. Va'nefesh ha'ba'amit shelo, and the animal soul. Va'al yado, and through the animal soul, nimshach begufo o bechelko ba'olam. The animal soul is spiritual in itself, but it's earthly bound, if you like. And from that it extends to his body, and from that it extends to his chelek in the world, the apartment that he lives in, and the clothes he wears, and the car he drives, and whether he has Vista on his computer. So that's into the practical realm. Uchadeshi yeh anyan de matan Torah, in order that there should be matan Torah, hayat tzarich liotchil achana heim be'alyonim veheim betachtonim. There had to be a preparation in both these poles, the divine soul and the animal soul, v'davka la'achazeh, and only after that, hayav shal yot bitul ha'gzera, could this decree, he's referring to this midrash without having spelled it out, could this decree be annulled, that the upper shouldn't descend and the lower shouldn't rise up? And that can be annulled legamrei v'hatchalat avodah b'ofen de'elyonim yedu lamata v'tachtonim yalu lamata. So then could be the resolution, the integration of the upper and the lower, that they come together. But in order to achieve this, there has to be a preparation. Now, this preparation, v'hine al derech shaya b'matan Torah, just as it was at the giving of the Torah, v'eit bitul agzerah, at the time that this decree mentioned in that midrash, where God said, "Va'ani amatchel, I'm beginning," as it says, that Hashem descended on Mount Sinai, and after that began the service from below, because then after having, when once he said, God descended on Mount Sinai, it then says, "Ve'el Moshe amar, ale el Elokim," and to Moshe he said, "Rise up to God." So it's the upper coming down and the lower coming up. So that's in grand historical terms of the whole Jewish people. As usual in Hasidic thought, and Chabad Hasidic thought in particular, this grand image is then focused into the life of the individual person. So, Kamochen ubichlalut avodat adam. So it is in the individual service of each person. Shetzalich liyot kod tchila, first there has to be Hanetinat koach lemilemaila, a kind of encouragement from above.
Empowerment.
Empowerment. Thank you. What a beautiful, yes, that's much more accurate translation. Netinat koach, an empowerment from above. Va'ani amatchil, where God says, "I am beginning." In other words, so it's God beginning which helps us. Only after that begins the individual's own service. So Ve'el Moshe, that God says to Moshe, "Rise up." So he says to each of us, "Go higher." Similarly, in the preparation for the giving of the Torah, that first of all there had to be netinat koach al zeh milamayla, there had to be an empowerment from above, and shezeh ma shehaya tzarich liyot ha'inyan denigla aleihem melech malchei ha'melachim ha'kodesh baruch hu bechvodo v'atzmo. In the course of going out of Egypt, there is a description of nigla aleihem melech malchei ha'melachim, God, the King of Kings, was revealed to them in His glory, in His essence. Now it gives a footnote 26. It's in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, but also this is explored at length in Hasidic Chabad Hasidic discourses, that this was a tremendous revelation of the divine, this Nigla Aleihem, and that revelation of the divine is the empowerment for the individual afterwards. Shahaya gilui milamayla mayla, there was a very exalted revelation, mibchina madrega shalamayla, very exalted level which is beyond the difference between above and below. There's above and there's below, and there's a level which is beyond the difference between above and below. Shezeu inyan de bichvodo va'atzmo, that's what it means, as the Rebbe Rashab explains in a lengthy discourse on this. That this is some aspect of the infinite, lifnei ha-tzimtzum, before the tzimtzum, before the veiling which preceded the creation of the world. So it's through that revelation, that very intense revelation, which is netinat koach zu, this is the empowerment through which hutchala avodah de'omer ha-tnufa, through which begins the service of counting the omer, and of illuminating ourselves. So there's a tremendously exalted revelation which then has to be put into a, translated into a form where we are working on ourselves. Vihine, next paragraph on 211. Now what is going out of Egypt in a person's own service, his own life? העבודה זה יציאת מצרים וגבולים, יציאה ממצרים וגבולים. It means going beyond limitations and borders. כמבוא בכמה מקומות, as explained in a number of places, החל מספר תניא, beginning with תניא itself, which talks about this. Now that's a very interesting idea, this sense that there are limitations within a person. And that's our own private Mitzrayim. That's our own private Egypt. And the word Mitzrayim has the same letters as Meitzarim, limitations. When you write it chaser, and then you put in the point. So the limitations could be anything. I remember once I had a rather interesting and humbling experience when I was introduced to two former drug addicts. Chabad in this town has a Chabad drugs line Chabad, which works on trying to help people leave substance addictions of different kinds. And somehow I was introduced to two people who were with AA, or they had managed to break out of being addicts. And I was giving them some kind of private class in Jewish teaching, and we came before Pesach, so I took the Haggadah and we began reading about Pesach, but with this sort of Chabad Hasidic slant. So suddenly one says to the other, "Hey, this is our story." He saw the going out of Egypt as their story, and I was very moved by that. That's exactly what it's about. It's now, in less dramatic terms, it can be everyone's story, that there is a sense in which we are stuck in different kinds of limitation within us, which can be very debilitating in different ways, and we break out of those limitations. That is our own personal Yetziat Mitzrayim, our going out of Egypt. Ubedugma lekomosha haya be'et Yetziat Mitzrayim, similar to the original going out of Egypt, Shahagilui lemaila, the revelation above, haya, was in such a way, kamosh katuv, as it says again in Song of Songs. Like the Song of Songs resonates all the way through not only this discourse but many aspects of Pesach, and that's why some people have the custom that they read the Song of Songs after the Haggadah. Medaleg al ha'arim u'mekapetz al ha'gvaot, leaping over the mountains, skipping over the hills, which means, Kabbalistically translated, Gilui, a divine revelation, Lamaila mikol medida bahagbala, higher than any kind of measure or definition, Bevchinat dilug, in a way of a leap, Ulamaila mizeh gam bevchinat kvitza, not only a skip, but a jump. As if dilug is with 1 foot, ledaleg, to skip, and kvitza is with 2 feet, a real long jump. So, in other words, some kind of leap over a gap. Val derech ze gam lemata ba'avodatam. So, similarly, also in their service below, that the service went in a way beyond limitation, but often in a way of a skip and a jump. Now, this is then translated into the actual details of going out of Egypt. That they should slaughter the paschal lamb. Now, slaughtering the paschal lamb was itself a serious step for the Jews in Egypt, because the lamb was the idol of the Egyptians. So the fact that suddenly this slave people turn round and take the idol of that country and slaughter it and they use it for their offering to their god. This is a step of what is it?
Chutzpah.
Chutzpah. Yeah, it's a step which completely rejects the prevailing culture. It's saying we're going to do something absolutely beyond. Or Pesach, and the very word Pesach uloshon dilug kvitza means skipping. Pesach. Ad shekol avodatav hayu tzrichim liyot derech dilug kvitza. And similarly, the offering of the Pesach, the offering of the Paschal Lamb, and now the making of the matzah, has to be in a way of tremendous speed and energy. Kedita b'pirush Rashi, as Rashi explains, valderech zeh hayagam b'pashtut, and so it was literally, sheyatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim, they went out of the literal land of Egypt, meitzarim u'gvulim she'ein lamata mehem, the lowest level of limitations, page 212. Kamo she'haya az, ma'amad u'matzav eretz Mitzrayim, they were in this very low situation in Egypt. So in other words, there is this sort of leap, there's this spiritual input from above, which is somehow beyond limitations in some way, and the response from below is also beyond limitations in some way, some kind of jump. Similarly, the going out of Egypt in a person's individual service. It's the service of leaving limitations. So there we have this idea of leaving limitations, and one can translate it how one wants into different aspects of one's own life, and the sort of the context of the Jewish people or individual Jewish people, some form of breaking free. Now, at this point, the discourse is now going to focus in to a particular variety of going out of Egypt. And that variety of going out of Egypt is in spiritual prayer. That spiritual prayer is going to be analyzed in terms of going out of Egypt. So we're beginning at the end of the second line on page 212, and this becomes the most part of the discourse, and in this section of prayer is introduced the other discourse from the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe. So it's like waves within waves, as it were. It's, והנה כי מחיוב דלמן תזכור עד יום צאתך מארץ מצרים כל ימי חייך. The keeping of the duty to remember the going out of Egypt every day of one's life, bechlalut, in general, hu b'shat kriyat shema, is at the time when we say the Shema. Now it says in Tanya, in chapter 47, part 1 of Tanya, that every time we say the Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, at that moment we are going beyond all limitations. Because what we are saying is that Hashem is one, and we are totally, we feel a sense of, it's a very interesting thing about this chapter. Because it says, as long as we do not object, God gives himself to us in a very intense personal way. Hashem Elokeinu. The same way as we say, Elokei Avraham, the God of Abraham, so it's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. How can we do that? How can we claim such a thing? Because Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, they cut the path which we are following. And so we just have to follow in that path, and if we, as long as we don't object to it, Hashem gives himself to us at that moment. It's very
actually we're unifying ourselves with God.
Yes, it's an extremely striking chapter. And it says that this is the real Yitziyat Mitzrayim, because the Mitzrayim, the limitations that we're in, is our earthly, our normal way of looking at the world, which limits us. And by going beyond these limitations and connecting with God, this is the going out of Egypt. Now, then it speaks in the next paragraph about the ladder of prayer. Sulam mutzav archza v'rosho magia hashamayma. Jacob dreamt of a ladder. The bottom of the ladder was on the ground and the head of the ladder reached to heaven. The Zohar says this ladder means prayer, and it means that we are in prayer, we are reaching down to the very, very lowest level of life, and we're somehow connecting that with the very highest level, and that is our personal going out of Egypt, that we could have the lowest dimension, we could be stuck in the most horrific mud. And then a person says, you know what, I'm going to say the Shema. Yes, it's the time for saying the Shema, whatever. And they somehow, they work themselves out of this mud, and they come to for a few moments at least, a very spiritual perception. Of course, there is a question, which it discusses in Tanya as well, whether fleeting moments of spirituality have any worth whatsoever. Because svat emet tikon la'ad, va'ad argia lushon shaker. The lip of truth stands forever, and the tongue of falsehood is just for a moment. So in other words, if it's temporary, that suggests it's not real. And that's quite an important critical assessment, because one can easily be fooled by one's own intimations of spirituality, thinking that it's very real, when really it might be the Mashcheni draw me, it might be the divine soul might indeed be illuminated, but the animal soul is still in power. And
wasn't it the Rambam or somebody that said exactly the opposite of that? That a person going in this world, it's as if they're going along in a complete dark, and suddenly there's a flash of lightning, and it illuminates the way in front of them. And if they're clever, they'll use that flash of lightning to look at the road ahead. If they're not clever, they'll become transfixed and they'll look up at the sky, at the lightning, right? And that flash of lightning, if they can remember the whole of the road ahead, it helps them to go through the world with this inspiration.
Nice, Mashal. I mean...
Have you heard that?
No, I don't remember it. Maybe it's in Mesilat Yesharim or something.
I'll try and find who's... Yeah. I had in my mind it was something to do with the Rambam.
I don't remember it in the Rambam, but maybe it is. It reminds of a page of
exactly
Talmud.
The opposite.
The Talmud describes the difference between prayer, Torah study, and mitzvah. And bit of illumination and then broad light of day. But this is a different mashal, and it's a very interesting mashal. I don't know who said it.
It's very interesting though, because what that suggests to me is that somebody who's fixated on the purely spiritual, it's almost like they're fixated on the aesthetics of the spiritual. Mm. In other words, the lightning. Whereas the person who uses it to see the road ahead,
that's right.
Is using
that spiritual to see the physical road ahead. That's what it means.
That's the behemah.
Whereas he said, if you're transfixed by the light. And you look up at the lightning, then when it all goes dark again, you'll just trip on the road or you'll go off the road because you won't know the way.
You know, there was a moment of an enlightenment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just fleeting a moment.
Exactly
of the enlightenment, which actually is quite useless.
Mm. No. It's useful if you use it the right way.
Saying it's quite useless if you're fixated on the enlightenment.
Yeah, I would see this as the Chochmah bin Adat process in Chabad. Chochmah is like the flash of lightning. And then from Bina to Da'at is where you come to a commitment in the physical, in the practical world as a result of that illumination. You know, so it's...
Well, it's always struck me this description But it talks about being inspired, you know, just for a few minutes, and you can see the whole of the road ahead. Just the opposite of what you were saying, that being inspired, that's what I was bringing out. You said being inspired for just a few seconds might not be useful. This description says it is useful, because through that flash of light, you can see the whole of the road ahead, and it stops you falling in all the holes.
You know, even if you didn't see all the road ahead, the fact that you're inspired for a few moments helps you know which way you're, you know.
It's in the Aloch Vashov.
You can
In practice that Rotsov Vashov, that's the way it works. That
right.
You reach a degree of holiness. It's too much. It's like a spark of electricity. You come back. So by definition, you're only there for a few seconds up there. You jump away.
Well, in the process of Hitbonanut on the Shema, there is two levels, you see. That's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's called Yichuda Ilah, the upper unity, where there's only God. And that's like the moment of inspiration. And then there's Yichuda Tata, the lower unity, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Olam Ba'ed, V'ahavta Et Hashem Elokecha, you should love God with all your heart and soul and might in the world. So you reach beyond the world, and then you try to bring that inspiration into the world. You know, so they're immediately the two qualities. Now, so Yetziat Mitzrayim is this process. Going out of Egypt is the process of prayer. And then it speaks about three modes of prayer. The first form, which is the bottom paragraph on page 212, is the mode of love. Where there's a tremendous love to God, that's the mode relating to Avraham. The next mode, which is on page 213, Vehine, that's talking about another level, which is Tfilah through Yirah, which is the quality of fear, awe of God, which is the quality of Yitzchak. And in the second part of that paragraph, it talks about a third mode, which is of Rachamim, of mercy. Now you see, in the words of the prayer, there are phrases expressing love, phrases expressing awe, and there's also phrases expressing, asking God to have mercy. Mercy on whom? Mercy on us. Why should there be mercy on us? Because we are stuck in the materiality of the world. Now here comes Tehineh on page 213. There is a long section which is all about, this is the second discourse, this is the discourse from the Rebbe Maharash, and it's a discourse about the oneness of God. That really, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means not just that God is one, but that there is only God. That God is the absolute. And the trouble is, that we, however much we will say, yes, I worship God, and so on, and do many things in terms of worship of God, but we are very often stuck in our perception and our sense of need and involvement with worldliness in such a way that we are actually stuck in it. We're not free. Now, it's very interesting that the goal of these teachings is not to be, as I mentioned earlier, it's not to be living in a cave on the mountain. It's to be living in a home and to have a wife and a spouse and a family and being part of the real world and a job. But nonetheless, the question is how one does all these things. Is one stuck in it, or is a person a free agent who is serving God and connected to the infinite divine, and it's as such that they are involved in the world? Well, that's the possibility, but the reality for many people is being stuck in the world, and so there's a long exploration about achieving a clearer concept of unity of God, which enables the person to be rescued from their situation where they're just simply stuck in existence. And then he goes on page 217, finishing off the idea of tefillah as rachamim. That whole interpolation of a long discourse is in order to explain the rachamim, the mercy on our soul, which is stuck in its simplistic concept of the world. I mean, that's the problem. We see the world as too small, and because we see it as so small, we get stuck in a little corner of it. Whereas if we're able to see it in bigger terms, then that little corner is not going to worry us, because we're able to see it in broader terminology. Then he goes into the explanation about Moshcheni Acherecha Narutza, that the divine soul is drawn by God, and through the process of the counting of the Omer, we have the Narutza, we will run, and in that way the whole person, the divine soul and the animal soul and our physical life, our physical body, which we mentioned last week. He speaks here about the physical body and our chelko b'olam, our physical appurtenances in the world, all of them become part of service of God, and we draw down a flow of keter from above, an exalted illumination. And in the last paragraph on page 220, he speaks about this way of springing, of leaping and springing. There's sort of this strength of vibrance that we go with an empowerment beyond limitations and this dance, this sort of spiritual dance, both for the divine soul and for the animal soul. And in that way we leap over the mountains and we connect with the divine. Ad shenaaseh kol dodi hine zeba, the voice of my beloved is coming, and it will come. And it's referring to the redemption, that ultimately the whole world will be redeemed through this dancing over the hills, the harim of the male, and the dancing over the hills of the female, which represents different aspects of the sefirot. And the female is the sefira malchut, kingship, through Mashiach Tzidkenu, who will redeem us swiftly and bring us upright back to our land.